Beloved congregation, I've never visited the Cornwall Street Church building before the earthquake. I never saw it as it was. I've seen photographs of it from the outside, but never entered it. Went there the first time with one of the deacons when we came here last year and looked at the inside and saw the cracks and the damage, and then again during the synod time. In a sense, it's a picture of the brokenness of the world that we live in. In 4,000 years of history, there have been only 268 years of peace worldwide. 8,000 broken treaties. The world is so broken, so much in conflict. And Paul writes here to a church, a local church, a church in many ways like our church, a church with a mixture of people. And he's writing to them as God's chosen people, as the sons and daughters of the living God. And he's saying to them, dress right. Put on Christ. Put on the dress, that the costume, the garments that fit who you are. Take off that old clothing. Take off the anger, the wrath, the malice, the slander, the abusive speech, the things that pertain to the old life. Put on the sensitivities of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And as we'll see, it's through this process that the church is restored, that there is a people group that are restored, that the very fabric of the relationships within a community is put back together again. And so, let's come to this text. Paul writes, above all, having listed these different attributes, above all, and over all these virtues, put on love. We're to be bound by love. At the camp, there was a magazine floating around, which was the Wearable Arts catalogue from Wellington, where people put on these costumes which reflect the skill and the artistry of the designer. Really, that's what we're being called to do in this passage, is to put on the very character of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who reflects the very design of God for man. And it is because we are in Christ, we looked at this at the camp, because we are connected to Him, just as branches of a vine are connected to the stem, the source of life. So we are able in Christ to put on His character. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is the combining garment which binds all these other virtues together. It's the primary fruit of the Spirit. The central, supreme Christian grace, Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11. Love. The greatest of all of these is love. Not a warm, fuzzy emotion and feeling that passes like the weather across the sky, but a loyal, safe-giving, self-giving rather, commitment to the complete well-being of someone else, an action. Christ Jesus is God in the flesh. He is that promised Son born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Christ is God in person. Christ is love in person. And so the greatest commandment that Christ brings is that commandment to love God and to love one another. Just as I have loved you, Christ demonstrated this garment. He wore this garment of love as He walked on this earth. Greater love has this than no one, that He lay down His life for His friends. And so this is the garment that we are to dress ourselves in the church, to bind together all the other Christian graces that the Lord provides us with. It straps and holds everything together. We spent some time in the outback traveling in a Ford Transit van with our 7 children and camping for 6 months. And you can just imagine the amount of gear we had with us. And so the only way that we could keep everything in the back of the van without it falling out was we had one of these bungee nets that we'd strap on to all the corners, and it would hold everything in. And when you let go of it, it would all tumble back out again. Love, you see, is like a big bungee net that is to encompass God's people and bind them together. It ties and it fastens. It's like a chain. Same word is used in the body image in the scriptures in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. The ligaments that bind together in love. So Paul is writing to the church and he's saying that as you put on this garment, as you put on love, you will be bound together, you'll be glued together. And so, congregation, for us as a church, wanting in the Lord to be those who put on this love, we are to desire to love and to commit to one another. Because this love, as it binds us together, perfects those other graces of compassion, forgiveness, kindness, humility, and gentleness. And Jesus knows about love, and he knows about the love of people, and he says in Matthew 5 that it's easy to love the people who love you. Everybody does that. The tax collectors do that. Thieves do that. Murderers do that. But to love people who are not like you, to sacrifice yourself for people who you don't particularly like, who are different to you in personality and character. I'd like you to think for a moment of somebody in the congregation that you have least to do with. Somebody you haven't spoken to for quite some time. Somebody perhaps that you've had a disagreement with. Perhaps it's somebody who doesn't come to church anymore. What God is calling us to do when he's calling us to put on love is to put on the love which loves a person like that. What about people who've had complaints against you, or that you've had complaints against them, or they've hurt you? Put on love is the command if we are to be who we are in Christ. Imagine what it would be like for a church like this if it became evident to everybody that we love everybody in the church with a love which gives, with a love that doesn't depend on whether we like that person or whether we're similar to them, but we put on Christ. Now, I believe that's already present. I know it's already present. But that's what we're encouraged in, to more and more dress up to be who we are. And you see, as this takes place, and I believe it is taking place in this congregation, for many have testified to us, what God does is he starts to restore the building, the church, the living building. He starts to knit the building back together again. I'm confident that we can't glue the Cornwall Street building back together again. We can't fix those cracks. But in the living church, it's possible. In fact, that's what God does. He wants to reattach the broken ligaments, to join us closer to one another, even closer than we already are. And the means by which he does this is this all-encompassing garment of love, which is to bind and to tighten. And you see, as we do this, it reverses the effect of division and dissension, some of the things that were threatening the church in Colossae, some of the things that have grieved us as a church over the years, some of the things which have wounded ourselves and those we love. And as Alan Downer, I think, would say, there's a better way. And that way is love. It's the way of the gospel. It's the way of reversing back what sin has damaged. Would you like to see this church put back together again completely? Yeah, who wouldn't? This is the way. This is the way to put on love. Fervently love one another from the heart. It's a simple message. It's a profound message. And it's one that the Lord enables us to live out in the church as we put on and become that which we are. Put on love. It sounds like something that goes on the outside, but as we'll see in a moment, the key changes on the inside. That's our second point, ruled by peace. Verse 15, have a look with me. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, peace is not just the opposite of warfare, not just the opposite of division. The idea of peace is a wholeness and a completeness, a totality, a being put back together again. And that's what God promised through his prophet Isaiah at a time when the kingdom was being split apart. The northern kingdom had been split off from the southern kingdom. The threat was upon the people. The future looked grim. And God promised a child would be given. The government would rest on his shoulders and his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of completeness. Prince of wholeness, Prince of harmony, Prince of restoration. Christ came to bring peace and restoration to this broken world. He said that he brought good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted. And the angels came, you remember, when Christ was born and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's well pleased." Shalom, wholeness, harmony, completeness, restoration among men with whom God is well pleased. This was the promise of the Savior who came to bring wholeness. And so we, as a church, are to be involved in this work of Christ in the church, this work of peace, this work of reweaving the fabric of human relationships that have been shattered and broken. And by the Holy Spirit, God says to us through his word, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's like a rugby match where you have two teams, or maybe a soccer match. And you have a referee and he decides which way it's going to go. He makes the call. And so that word rule is the root, the word used of umpire or referee when there are differences. And every day you and I face not two teams of rugby players or soccer players. We face two threats. There is a threat to ourselves, to our sinful nature, that we will be bound to Christ. And we often resist that threat. And there is a threat to the work of Christ in our hearts. The threat of sin. And so we have a pitched battle that's raging inside us. Paul speaks of this in Romans 7. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. And so you see this pitch battle in your life. Children, when your parents ask you to do a job that is usually done by somebody else, and you think, well, that's not my job, that's somebody else's. But the scriptures say, honor your parents. You see, there's a battle going on. You're at school and someone picks on you. Picks on someone outside your group. Do you speak to the person who's the bully? Do you speak to the teacher? Do you do what's right? In the church, someone irritates you or offends you, lets you down. Do you let the force of evil rule in your heart? Or do you seek to bring reconciliation and forgiveness? And so to let Christ rule in your heart is to let that umpire in the heart decide, no, I will go the way of the gospel. I will go the way of grace and kindness and compassion and forgiveness and peace. If it's a small thing, I will let love cover the matter. I'll pass over it, forgive and move on. And if it's too big a matter, then I'll go through the process. I'll go to the person. I'll seek to have reconciliation with them. And I'll seek to forgive. Does the peace of Christ rule in your heart through the days when those situations occur? We're faced with it every day. The umpire in the heart is there. Which way will we go? The pursuit of peace is the pursuit of reconciliation. And that's the pursuit that God would have us as a church be active in, pursuing peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. If in this church the peace of Christ continues to rule in the hearts of God's people, there can only be one result, and that result will be continuing restoration and rebuilding of the church. Why is Paul so concerned for the church in Colossae? So concerned that peace rule? Because he knows that in that church of Jews and Greeks and barbarians and Scythians and slaves and free men, there is always this potential for disunity and disharmony, for breakage. And so he urges peace. So that the church would be strengthened and united. And that's our third point. It's a call to unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. This morning at the camp, we heard of the summons to the banquet of the king's son, the summons to the wedding feast, this call to come to the king's banquet. It's the gospel call. And the same word is here. It's a call to peace. It's a call to come in peace. It's a call to communion. It's a call to fellowship. It's a call to union with one another. We are being invited as a people of God to participate and to be part of His glorious restoration project. Not necessarily and specifically at Cornwall Street, but a restoration project for mankind, beginning in the church. It's a call to wholeness and to peace. It's a call to act and live against the isolation and the loneliness and the brokenness that we see in the world and in our fallen hearts. The believers in Colossae were not to be individually focused. They were to be focused upon the community of saints, upon the church. Theirs was not to be a self-made religion. They were called to be one body. So this scripture talks about the church in Colossae. It talks also of the church everywhere. But it's particularly here that we see the focus on the local church. They were to be bound together as a local church in Colossae. And so the call to us is to continue to be bound to one another as a local church here. To be a Christian is to be a part of a local church. The scriptures know nothing of the lone Christian, know nothing of the Christian who says, I believe in Jesus, but I don't belong to a church. The commitment of a Christian to a church is a covenant commitment. It's a bond. It's a bond of peace and unity. It's a relational bond. It's a bond that we know as members of this church. And so when two people get married, they say vows to have and to hold from this day forth, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, for sickness or in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. Now, our bind with the local church, our covenant connection, is not a lifelong connection in the same way as marriage, because at times we move, at times churches become unbiblical. But generally speaking, when we live in one place, we are united and bound to the church through thick and through thin. And most perhaps of the people here this afternoon are those who've been in that relationship with this church and know these truths. The author Joshua Harris wrote a book saying, stop dating the church. And it was directed particularly to young people who don't want to commit to a local church, who are looking always to see what else is on offer. And so I issue this encouragement to everybody here who is in that situation of not having professed faith. Don't look for a higher degree of perfection in a church. Don't look for a higher degree of perfection in yourself. Look to what the Lord says, which is that we are to be bound to one another. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, as members of this community. Let's not sit on the sidelines of the church, but let's bind ourselves to this body where all the parts are moving, all the parts are functioning. We are blessed with a congregation who love one another, who live at peace with one another, who are unified. And yet we need to work hard in the Lord at this business of binding together, for Satan is always trying to destroy and tear down. I don't think we can fix the old building at Cornwall Street with glue. Don't think that's possible. But the Lord fixes the church, binds her together with love. That's his superglue. It's not the programs of this church which will hold us together. It's not the clubs. It's not the meetings, although they're a part of our life. It's not even our heritage, our Reformed heritage and our history and the generations. Only this supernatural superglue that is spoken about in the Scripture will provide it. Only this clothing that Christ gives to us, this love. So let's have peace ruling in our hearts. Let's actively respond as one church to the call. Will you, brother and sister, be part of this glue that's binding this church together? Will you set your mind not on the earthly things, not on the things that we see, but on the heavenly things? Because you and I, brother and sister in Christ, died to ourselves when we gave our hearts to Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. And Jesus holds out to you and to me these clothes and says, "Dress, put them on, for they belong to you. I've purchased them for you. I've given to you all that you need to put on love. I've given to you my peace that it may rule in your hearts, so that when you are faced, as you and I will be faced this coming week, with those battling and warring factions in our hearts, that we will rule in the way of Christ. And it is by this supernatural means that God will build his church. This is what he promises. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Amen.